Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Read a portion of scripture. Then we're going to pray. We're going to read from 7 to 10. It says, "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him with the border of his inheritance at Timnath Heres in the mountain of Ephraim, on the north side of the mountain Gash. When all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel." Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for the privilege and the opportunity to speak your word, Lord. And Father, I just pray that your spirit, Lord God, as you move in this place today, Lord, as your atmosphere is set, open every heart and mind, Lord God, to really receive what it is that you wanted us to know in this season, Lord. Father, let it be you speaking here today, Lord. Just use me, Lord God, for your will, Lord. Open every heart and mind to receive what it is that you want to say, Lord. We give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. Our eyes are on you, Lord. We want to hear from you. We want to be transformed by your word, Lord. It's not about us, it's about you. So we offer this time to you. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated, worship team. Thank you. Can we put our hands together for the worship team who have led us in some fabulous worship today? Praise God. This mic sounds very echoey. Does it sound very echoey out there? Let me just see what this mic's like. 1, 2, 1, 2. Is that better? Yeah, let's roll with that. We'll roll with this one. Praise yeah. God. They gave me some single reverb. I think they wanted me to sing. It's not happening though. So the title of the message today is Passing It On. Turn to your neighbor and say, passing it on. Then turn to your other neighbor and pass it on. You see, when I was preparing this message, I just thought about a game of, I don't even know if this is, if it's offensive or not, but Chinese whispers. I grew up knowing that joke and that little game there, but I don't know why it's Chinese whispers, but forget it, Jamaican whispers, Indian whispers, whatever whisper, but Chinese whispers. And it's an interesting thing about when you play that game is from what you start off with, to what you can end up with. You start off with something that seems so clear, and you hope that by the time that message has got to the end of the line, that you've transmitted the exact same thing that you were saying at the start. But more than often than not, it so happens that when you play that game, people are coming out with some crazy stuff at the end of it. And when we're looking at this scripture here in Judges, it's like we're seeing a game of Chinese whispers that's really gone wrong. Really gone wrong. If people are not familiar with this passage, we're talking about the people of God, the people of Israel, who have been given the law. They've been led well by Moses. They've been led well by Joshua. They've been taught how to serve God. They've been taught that who God is, in essence. But now we come to a place where there's a generation that have risen up in their midst, and it says that they do not know God. They don't know God. And today, I just want to appeal to the hearts of the gang. Is that okay? I just want to appeal to the hearts of the gang today, because I've been thinking about this scripture quite a lot. The first time when I heard this scripture, it really pricked my heart. It really pricked my heart because I was very surprised that this could even happen. Like for me, it was like, is this actually in the Bible that there was a generation that risen up that didn't know him? Like, how is that possible? But when I started to think about it, the possibility of that actually happening is a lot easier than we could even think. Do you know that right now we have such a responsibility? Such a responsibility. We have a responsibility to see that this situation that occurred back then does not occur again. You see, today I want to appeal to the hearts of the gang. And I want to say, look, there needs to be a different type of conviction and motivation that starts to take place in your life. I mean, the way that we did things last year, the way that we did things the year before, I don't believe that that's going to be enough. I don't believe that's going to be enough. The reason why I don't believe it's going to be enough, because I'm looking at the generations to come, and I feel like we need to have a heavier impact. I feel like we have to have a heavier impact if we are not going to see what took place then take place again. The reality is that we are a few years away with a few wrong decisions, with a few lapsed actions, and we could see this very same thing play out again. The issue is that when it comes to walking out the things of Christ, there's a tendency for us to want to hope that there's somebody else putting in the work. Everybody's looking to the person on the left. Everybody's looking to the person on the right. Everybody's hoping that someone else is going the extra mile. That's what took place. We had a bunch of people who had everything, everything that pertained to a godly life, but they failed to transmit that. And I feel that where we are right now in the gang, I feel like that there needs to be another level of ownership. There has to be a next level of ownership. Look at the legacy that has been left for us. Look at the leaders who have gone before us and laid absolutely everything down. I'm just being honest with you. I feel like Christianity in this current day is starting to lose its fire. It's starting to lose its fire. When I hear the testimonies and the stories of people who went before us, I hear about people who was hungry. I hear about people who was zealous. I hear about people who was ready to lay it all down on the line. I hear about people who had a faith that was not seen. I don't see that hunger anymore. I don't see that hunger anymore. You speak to somebody on that level and they start to act like you're some sort of a religious nutcase. That is what it's like. But when you speak to who I call the OGs, the old school, that sort of living was standard. That's where the hunger was. They was out on the street. They had the heart for the street. They was in the homes, preaching in the homes. They had a heart for the homies. They was going into the places of darkness. They was fasting. They was praying. It didn't need to be corporate prayer and fasting for them to do that. They didn't need to have 25 flyers posted on Facebook. They didn't need for them to be churned up on a Sunday for them to fast. They were sizing up the situation and saying, you know what, I need to call a fast for my generation. There was a hunger. There was a cry. They was on the face crying out before God and saying, God, what is your heart for this city? What is your heart for this region? What is your heart for this nation? Catching a hold of God's heart and then going out there with the fire and reaching it and saying, I'm not stopping until I see the city turn around. Where's that hunger now? God's anointed now generation, if we're going to make an impact, we need to be a people who have that hunger. We need to be a people that say, you know what? I'm going to get before God. I'm going to separate myself. I'm going to go into a place of prayer. I'm going to go into my closet and I'm going to pray and I'm going to listen until I hear the voice of God. It can't just be religion. It can't be a case of just going through the motion, ticking boxes. That's not what this is about. Because I know that God wants to reach this city. I know that there's a teenager who's out there who's going to be the next Billy Graham. There's a teenager who's out there who's going to be the next Pastor Sonny. There's a teenager who's out there who's going to be the next Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky and Sister Julie. They're out there. But if we don't have the hunger, if we don't play our part, then the truth of the matter is nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Do you know why I believe that the scripture is in the Bible? I believe that it's in there to show you that it can happen. That thing that you think that God's going to come down here and do it, he ain't going to do it. That's the evidence. Why? Because God works with man. God stirs up the heart of the people, but if the people don't respond, if the people don't step up and do what he's called them to do, then we have an issue. There's 3 points that I want to make concerning what I believe was taking place that created this issue that occurred. And the first point is, I believe that there must have been some sort of a loss of conviction. There must have been a loss of conviction. One thing that I recognize is when you look at the lives of men and women who have a big impact in this world for Jesus, they're people who were able to moderate their personal conviction. You have to have a personal conviction. You can't expect for somebody else's walk to come and affect your walk. You got to take ownership for your walk. I've heard people say crazy things like, you know why I backslid? Because you didn't text me. What? Do you know why I backslid? Because you didn't phone me. That's rubbish. If someone says that to me, I will laugh on my phone and say, God bless you. Because you should take ownership for your own walk. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that as disciples we don't work with people. But what I'm saying is that mindset is not right. You can't be saying because you didn't do that, then I did this. You're supposed to be taking a hold of the conviction for your own walk. We're supposed to be led by our convictions. You see, Job, he had conviction. He said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? He had a conviction. Job chose in his heart that, look, listen, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to be looking on a woman with the wrong intent in my heart. That was his personal conviction. Daniel had a conviction for prayer. We talked about it at the last gang service. That capital punishment, he could have got killed for praying. But listen, he had a conviction that I'm going to get on my knees 3 times a day because prayer is what's going to make it happen. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God's face. That was his personal conviction. Ezra had a conviction to study the word. In Ezra 7:10, it says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Ezra set his heart. No one else came to set his heart. Ezra set his heart. There has to be a personal conviction. I don't feel like conviction is taken serious enough these days. I really don't think conviction is taken serious enough. I think that Christians are getting very lax. Very lax. And I'm talking to the young adults right now. The reason why I'm talking to the young adults is because the way that you walk is going to have effect on the younger ones. They're going to sense the lack of conviction in your life. You don't have a conviction about prayer. You don't have a conviction about your word. You don't have a conviction about holiness. Ooh. And they sense that. The younger ones know that. You see, because what you are is what's transmitted. Where do we build up our convictions? Well, first of all, we need to be in our word. It says this in Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." See, we need to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to see ourselves through the perfect eyes of God. When you read your word, you will see the areas in your life that need change. You'll see the areas in your life that don't line up with the perfection of God. That's why you gotta be in your word. That's what's gonna build the conviction in your life, because as you're reading it, you're gonna see certain areas in your life and you're gonna say, you know what, that's not looking like me. This area right here, this is asking for something that in all honesty, I'm struggling with. And I need to lay this thing down if I'm gonna be like the image Christ has laid out for me. That's where we're gonna build the conviction. I actually should have called this message Back to Basics. Back to Basics. You know, sometimes Christianity can get so technical and people can make it such a technical thing that we let go of the basics. I'm talking prayer, fasting, and word. That's how the OGs were taking over the world with the gospel. Prayer, fasting, and word. Nowadays, it's 29 steps to leadership, 29 steps for growing your influence, 29 steps for growing your church. Listen, I'm not saying that there isn't wisdom and structure and strategy, because I believe that God gives that. But what I'm saying is, whilst you get your 29 steps, make sure you remain in your word, make sure you remain in prayer, make sure you remain fasting, because there has to be a personal conviction. The other place is the obvious, prayer. In Isaiah 48, 17, it says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit and who leads you by the way you should go." In prayer, that's where you're going to be learning where it is that you want to go. You know, so many people are lost. They don't know what to do. I'm talking saved people. Save people who don't know which direction they should go, but their prayer life is zero. Zero. But if you don't know how to get before God and get a hold of God and hear his voice, then how are you going to get that direction that he's talking about? If you're a person who don't know how to pray and hear from God, the issue is you're going to be coming in on a Sunday hoping that the message that's preached over the pulpit is going to direct you. But you need to be a person who's able to go into your prayer closet. You know, there's times when you have to close your prayer closet and say, I'm not leaving this place until I hear from God. I've had times when I've had to pray and I'm saying, Lord, I'm not leaving this place of prayer until you answer my prayer. I'm not talking about just praying and then going and then hoping that you hear someday. I'm talking, Father, we're going to do this now. I'm closing this door because you have the answer, and I'm going to pray until you answer me. That's the sort of prayer I'm talking about. When you put down that sort of prayer, that's when God knows you're serious. And that's the type of prayer that it's going to take in order for us to see this city turned around. That's the type of prayer it's going to take for this nation to be impacted the way God wants to impact it. It's going to take a bunch of young people who are in the word and they're in prayer and they're not playing games. Playtime's over. 2017, playtime's over. The younger generation, the new gen, they ain't into games. They can see phony when they see it. They can see fake when they see it. If you're going to be about it, you better be about it. The reason why they ain't loud about it, because sometimes it's what's being transmitted. Somebody say, ouch. Personal conviction. I'm sticking on this one for a little bit because you see, the thing about the personal conviction is this, is you can hear the pricking of the Spirit of God and you can take that thing lighter than you should. Just because lightning is not striking you down on the spot does not mean that you should take away the value of what it is that God is telling you to do. When God's speaking to you and telling you, this is God we're talking about. Creator of heaven and earth is communicating with little old you on earth and telling you and directing you what you want to do and you want to play games. Don't play those games. The convictions of God are for a reason. When God's convicting you, it's because he doesn't want you to find out what's at the end of the path. He's done seen it already. We need to be a young people who live by our convictions. Because everything else in the world is going to be talking about the opposite. It's going to be saying, no, do that. No, that's fake. That ain't real. We need to be people of conviction. You see, now the whole education system set up to be so antichrist. In a school, even if you go into a Church of England school, they're trying to tell children that evolution is how this was all made. They're trying to tell people that we adapted from animals. I'm like, listen, if you believe you came from an ape, you go for it. But me, I was created by God. They want to look at us like we're crazy. Trying to tell you that you came from some animal. I'm like, look, man, I ain't a crazy one. Know what I'm saying? You want to come from this animal, this beast, and I can't understand it because they're still walking around. But if that's what you want to believe, then go with it. But the funny thing is the teachers are not scared to preach the conviction they believe. They're not scared to drum that in the children 24 hours a day. They ain't scared to do that. But you see, when it comes to speaking up for the convictions of God, when we talk about purity, when we talk about holiness, when we talk about praying, when we talk about fasting, we talk about loyalty, when we talk about honor, when we talk about these principles, people are not necessarily bold about that. See, people are reluctant to share it or scared. Half-hearted, not loud about it, soft about it. But listen, if we're going to have an impact, soft about it's got to go. Ain't no soft about it in 2017. If you're about it, then be loud about it. And if you ain't about it, then pray about it. You know I used to rap back in the day. The second thing that we can get from these people when it went real pear-shaped was there was a loss of conviction, but there was also a loss of relationship. Relationship. It says that they did not know the Lord. Can you imagine not knowing the Lord after that legacy that was left? But the crazy thing is if we don't do our job right, if we don't walk this thing out the way God intends us to, that's going to be the testimony of the little ones that are coming up now. They're going to turn around to say they did not know the Lord. It might not necessarily be the new gen, but it could be the new gen's new gen. So that's why we got to get this right. There was a loss of relationship. I believe there was been a breakdown in the dependency that they had upon God. You know when you get to that place in life where you can sort of feel like you've hit the mark? Sort of feel like you've got that breakthrough and everything's feeling okay. Get to that place where you take the foot off the gas just a little bit. And then God's directing you, but you don't really need to listen because it doesn't feel like there's any imminent danger. So therefore, you can kind of ignore a little bit. And there's a conviction on your life, but it's okay. The conviction can wait because there's nothing that's really too threatening. Things are okay right now. You see, the issue with that is that starts to play with the relationship. It starts to play with the relationship. And the enemy sometimes is he's not trying to bring too much distraction to your life because he's quite happy with seeing you just living in disobedience. Because what he wants to affect is the relationship that you have with God. He's like, look, listen, you're saved, and you know what? The way you're living, you're not really having an impact. So I don't really need to mess things up, but what I'm going to do is just let you coast along in this little fairy tale. Too many people have been in a fairy tale. Coasting along, taking the box, going to work. Work 9 to 5, get my wage, it's all good. Some new trainers, come on now. New trainers on the feet, new trainers on the whip, both trainers. But the enemy's cool with that. The enemy's cool with that as long as you're not answering the call in your life. Do you know why? Because the call in your life sometimes takes sacrifice. The call on your life takes sacrifice. The call on your life takes walking out into the deep. And that's what the enemy does not want to see you doing. He doesn't want to see you taking those steps of faith. He wants you to take those ordinary steps that tick the boxes, walking into church, throwing up your hands, saying two prayers, basic living. Basic living. But when I think about the OGs, there wasn't no basic living going on. We're talking about faith that was shaking mountains. Mountain-shaking faith. Some people have been experiencing situations in their life where they feel like God is distancing himself. Distancing himself. They're trying everything. They're calling out on him, but they still feel like he's distancing himself. They feel like they've been praying, they've been seeking his face, he's distancing himself. They don't know exactly what to do. They're praying and worshiping, but they don't feel the connection that they used to have. But listen, God's trying to position you. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles 32, 30 to 31. It says, this same Ezekiah also stopped the water outlet of Upper Gihon, and brought the water by tunnel to the west side of the city of David. Ezekiah prospered in all his works. However, regarding the ambassador of the prince of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land. Check this out. God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. God withdrew from him to test him, that he would know all that was in his heart. See, God wants to see what's in your heart. God wants to see what you're really about. When you're in those situations, when you feel like God's not there, sometimes God is just watching to see what is really going on. It's in them situations where he's going to know. What you're about is going to be seen for what it is. You see, sometimes you can fool God. You can fool man when you're walking around ticking all these religious boxes. But God sees the heart. That's why Saul was rejected and David was accepted. We're not talking about a matter of salvation. We're talking about a matter of service. But when I go before the throne, I want to hear good and faithful servant. I want to hear good and faithful servant. I want it to be a case of that when I'm before God, I'm confident in the fact that the life that I lived was one obedient to his work, his purpose. Where's the obedience? That's the relationship that God wants. God wants a relationship of obedience. He doesn't want a relationship that's just a case of you've been saved, you receive salvation because you believe in Jesus Christ and that's it. It's not that. Believing in Jesus Christ is the start, Matt. After that means laying down yourself and being obedient step by step. Success in the world is not success in the kingdom. Having the wife and the husband and the children and the house and the picket fence with the little dog running around, that's cool. And God can bless your life and give you that. We're not against that. But that's not impressive in heaven. That don't impress nobody in heaven. What's impressive is when somebody says, you know what, Lord? I've got an eternal mindset. These things on the earth, they don't hold that weight to my life. I'm ready to lay it down if that's what it takes. Whatever it is, I just want to live your will. That's what I want. Whatever you want for me is what I want. I recognize that you are King of Kings. I recognize that you are Lord of Lords. And whatever it is that you have laid out for me to walk in, tell me, Lord. I surrender to that. But there's too many with a lack of relationship. I believe that these people drifted away from that walking in obedience. I believe that they drifted away from that dependency on God. You see, this was the thing that Paul had experienced when he had the thorn in the flesh. He had experienced a situation where God had to show him that he was in need of him. So that the need that he had in his life allowed for God's power to work. God wants power to work in your life. God wants to do great things in your life. But sometimes your hand's too fixed on the steering wheel. How many people have got their hands fixed on the steering wheel of their life? God's convicting them and asking them to step out. Listen, if your hands are fixed on the steering wheel, then God's not going to be able to drive you where he wants to take you. You can only drive yourself as far as you can see. And your vision is limited. Then people turn around and start to whine about a limited outcome. How can you not have a limited outcome if you got a limited driver? But if you put God in the driving seat, and you say, Lord, you take the driving seat of my life, and he starts driving you now. Now, that's going to take you to a supernatural destination. That's the next destination we should want for our lives. You see, also it says that he didn't know his works. And I believe that this was the people who lost faith in the miraculous. Faith in the miraculous. In 2017, what is your eyes fixed upon? What is your eyes fixed upon? Are you guys expecting for big things? Because I am. Are you guys expecting to see more things happen in your life than you could even have, even fathom? Because I am. Because we serve a miracle working God. We serve a God who's able to do all things. And do you know why we need to believe for these things? Because it needs to be a testimony for those who are watching. It needs to be a testimony for those who are watching. If you're not even excited for your own faith, if you're not excited for your own walk, then how is the young ones going to even see that? They're going to look out to the world life where things seem more exciting. I tell you this year, there's nothing more exciting than Christianity when it's on fire. When you check out the life of a man and woman who have put their hands, it's like a film. When you check out the lives of some of these men and women who have laid it down, their life is like a film, like a movie. Robert De Niro. The life of faith is an exciting life. And we need to have that life of faith. We need to have that exciting lifestyle that God wants us to have. But if we don't step out in faith, if we're not believing for big things, that ain't going to happen. In Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 4, it says, therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. I don't think people are believing for the miraculous these days. Even when people lead people to the Lord, people are not even praying that they be filled with the Holy Spirit anymore. People are losing the faith in the miraculous power of God. But our God is not a God just of the natural, because yes, he uses the natural. But our God is a God of the supernatural. And those who had a big impact in their cities and in this world are the ones who were willing to believe beyond the natural into the supernatural. God's anointing our generation, we got to believe for supernatural things. Supernatural things. I'm believing that every gang ministry within this region is going to be from 200 to 500 deep. That's what I'm believing. Why do I believe that? Because God wants to do it. And I'm willing to align myself with what it is that God wants to do to see that. We've got to think big. We've got to think beyond what we can see in front of our face. We've got to believe for more. God wants to take you and take your life to somewhere else. You might have come from a broken background. You might have come up from a place where you've not seen a relationship that's worked out, but God wants to give you a marriage. God wants to give you a marriage that works. You might have come from a place where children were not raised in the right way, but God wants to give you a household with children that know how to obey the parents. Physically, you might not be able to conceive, but God wants to bless you with the birth, with the fruit of the womb. God wants to do miracles. We serve a miracle-working God. You might have been someone who's been restricted in life because of some form of a mental disorder. Your mind doesn't function as you would prefer it to. But God's in the business of healing. He'll touch that mind and heal that mind. You might be someone who's experienced depression, or you're on some sort of oppression from the enemy. But God can break those chains in a moment. When you look back of great people who have done great things, it's because they believed great things. They believed God for big things. What's the things in your life that are a boundary to you? What are the things in your life that you say, you know what, this thing is limiting my life? But my challenge is, are you willing to take that thing into the prayer closet and say, Lord, I'm not leaving until this thing's gone. I'm not leaving until I see something change. Is there a conviction in your life that's going to bring you to that place? Because God wants to see that conviction. Are you someone who's going to bring this city and this nation in prayer before the throne and say, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek your face until I see this thing turn around. I'm not going to live with it as though this is normal. I need to see salvation in this place. You see, the people of Israel, they were lacking in these areas. They was going through the day-to-day, ticking the boxes, doing the general thing. They lost conviction. They lost a relationship with God. And they stopped believing for the miraculous. But gang, that can't be our portion. In closing, if we could just ask everyone to stand. We need to make a personal commitment in ourselves to say, you know what, I want to transmit what it is that I've received. Everything that I've received, I need to transmit this to the coming generation. I'm not going to be somebody who's just heard the things of God and had these experiences in my life and I'm just ticking boxes. There has to be a personal hunger to see the world changed. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 7, this is what it says. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." This is what God was saying. He was saying, look, these things should be something that is brought before the ones coming up at every given chance. Every given chance. This ain't just talking about your personal household. This is talking about, what are you showing to society? What ownership are you taking for this nation? For your generation? For your colleague at work? At university? At college? For your next door neighbor living next to you? In the school system? You're in school. Your life is going to touch their life. Have you made a conscious decision in you to say, you know what? My life is going to impact people. It's going to impact them. If God's spoken to you today and you've said, you know what? I need to be more intentional with my what? I've got to let the fire, the hunger to really reach this nation, be played out in my life. It can't be ticking a box thing. It's got to be a deeper conviction. If you're saying, look, this is, I've got to be more like Jesus Christ. My relationship needs to get right. If that's you, I just want you to come to the front and just make an altar with God right now. As the worship team begin to worship. Because I believe that God wants to place a fresh conviction in the hearts today.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.